Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. I don't know what I'd do without the Word of God. Father, I want to thank you that you've chosen the altar to declare your word. And I will not defile your altar by those things that are not of your word. I'll do you honor today, Lord, in presenting truths. And I pray that everyone grasp it. Even though they've heard it before, I pray they grasp it. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing it through the Word of God, the Word which we preach. And so, Father, today, may your people get it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In John chapter 10, let's go to verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Well, how many know that we're facing that today quite a bit? I mean, you turn on the news and it'll tell you how many homes are invaded. You know? How many people lose their life? And so we know that the MO of our adversary is death. That's what he's all about. He wants to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life. That's that word Zoe. And that they may have it more abundantly. You know, the word Zoe or Zoe, they call it a New Testament word, but actually, the word Zoe had been around many years before even Jesus appeared. And actually, John, who used, our theologians say that the Apostle Paul, not John, but the Apostle Paul used 24 words that had been altered from what it previously meant to what it now means. And so they called them, the theologians called them, born-again words. Which I thought was very good. And Paul, he was not religious in any way. He was not orthodoxed in any manner. And he found that the heathens use this word Zoe to appease their gods. And here's what is found in that word. It literally means to take on the life, nature, and character of your God. And see, we don't realize that when people carved idols and they come up with a God in their thinking, that their whole purpose, their whole goal was to be conformed to the very image that their God is. And Paul said, I think that's what God intends for us to do, to be conformed into his image. So he took that word we call now born again and said, hey, we are to be the same way, but we have the true God. There is no other gods up there except what exists in the minds of men. Amen. And the reason I brought that up is because that is so well known to us that he came to give us life more abundantly. And the thief did not do that. Have we got that revelation by now? Does all of us believe that? I get a weak amen. Amen. Because that's true. Boy, if we would get a revelation that Satan is not for us but against us, we might get a shot at the devil instead of shooting at each other. I like that one brother. He said, if we kept shooting at each other, we might get a chance to shoot at the devil. But this morning, the subject of my message is our real enemy had a purpose from the beginning of the fall. The real purpose that our adversary had for coming into this world through a nature that includes death. His whole purpose was to divide man from God. That's his real purpose, to divide man from God. That's his passion, and that was his goal. And as a result of that, Adam and Eve bought in to being their own God. But after their eyes were opened, they began to realize they had been duped. Now, people say that Adam and Eve encouraged spiritual death the minute their eyes were opened, that nothing could be further from the truth. They did not incur spiritual death, because spiritual death has to be identified in the text. It means either permanent separation from God or temporal. And the text has to identify that. And thank God I understand why Jesus had to come. He had to come to take the place of the first Adam. Yeah. He took that place, but only he didn't fail. Yes. Yeah. And people don't realize today that mankind had been freed from the nature that entered the world. And the only way that we can be free from it and say our chains have been broken is to accept Jesus. Without accepting him, there's no way that you can break those chains. Amen. And so we all are in agreement that Satan is our enemy. But Satan, at the fall, constructed a deception over man, and man bought into it. And that's why he's called more subtle than any beast of the field. No one can outdo him in his ability to deceive. And he knew the first area that deception would come through is to be able to separate man from God. And so what he did in the beginning is that men, once the nature entered this realm, automatically through time, man lost his spiritual identity. And it had to take time, a process. So what he wanted to do is he wanted to get man, which is flesh, the dust of the earth, and what he is spiritually, and join them together. And the results of that is called spiritual separation. So actually, spiritual death had a process of time. It wasn't something that happened instantly. And thank God that Adam and Eve woke up to repentance and God made a way for them to be redeemed from what he gave the adversary. And we know that what Adam received, there was nothing left that didn't need it to be given to him. God gave it all to him. And he turned it over. We find that in the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Satan took him up on a high pinnacle and he said, see all these kingdoms, this world, it was delivered to me. If you bow down and worship me, then I'll give it to you. Liar. Lied. He was trying to lie to Jesus like he did Adam and Eve. But Jesus didn't buy it. Thank God for the road of time. Somebody woke up And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, the problem with so many people in these other faiths around the world, the reason that they're into those faiths is one common denominator they all have is they do not believe that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. They could not receive Jesus as being perfect deity. Now, the only reason they can buy into that is they had to have been deceived by Satan himself. Now, I don't know whether you guys have got this, but one thing that Satan is not is omnipresent. So Satan had to find a way to be omnipresent. And it was called the nature of sin. That's what entered the world. Romans 5. So Jesus, in order to redeem man from Adam's fall, he had to become the second Adam. Now I'm going to say something that's going to shock some of you. But once Jesus paid the price for the redemption of mankind, no one from the cross on, no one could be spiritually lost because of the first Adam's transgression. Yeah. Now, can man be spiritually lost after the cross? Yep. Yeah. He certainly can. There's a thief in a car out there, I think. There's an alarm going off. So if you go out there and check that out, hallelujah, catch him in the act. And if you don't see anybody, it's spiritual. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. If you will, turn to Matthew chapter 18. We've got to look at this second culprit, this very next culprit that is in league with Satan. He's in league with the devil. Because he has the nature of the enemy, our enemy, in him. And we must mark him. So if you will, turn to, what did I say turn to? Matthew 18. And I hope this will sober all of us up a little bit, because this is how God is moving this morning. I got the witness within myself. I didn't think he was, but he said, yes, go this way. In Matthew chapter 18, look at verse 15. Matthew 18, 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Now, we won't go on to verse 17. If he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. We won't. We're just talking about dealing with Satan's second arch enemy. So with that thought in mind, go to Philippians 3:17. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brother, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Now I'm going to read this out of the Greek. The witness of a believer who turned back to his life on earth for the appetites of his own flesh. And so with that thought in mind, go to Romans 16. Romans 16. And in Romans 16, let's go to verse 17 and 18. Now I urge you, brother, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Now with that thought in mind, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we know about the man who evidently was serving in the church. He must have been a leader of some kind for them to mark him out. And he was the one who had wanted to have sexual relationships with his father's wife. And so the Lord says in verse 5, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lumps? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. How many of you feel like a lump? It's because you're a new one. Since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So we're going to stop there. And notice that word marked. We saw it mentioned in several of these verses. Now, is anybody confused about what I've said already? Good. The word mark is a word scopeo. Comes off the word scopos. It literally means to take aim at, to regard or consider. It comes off the word optimi, means to gaze at with wide open eyes, to look carefully at something so you don't miss a thing for identification purposes. Whoa. That means you got to pay attention if you want to mark something. Now, I did not say they're gossip or bring a reproach. It's talking about a person marking something. And it's important that we have this kind of discernment in our life. Because a tree is known by its fruit. It doesn't matter what a person says. It's the fruit of that person that speaks louder than what he says. Now, I want you to note something. And this individual has been with me for a long time. We've had this conversation before, and we're going to go through it again. I have come to the conclusion that there is an enemy in my life that I have to mark. Why do I have to mark this person? Well, he was introduced to me at salvation at the same time as me. We ended up at the same church together. He was very close to me and my family. He was allowed access in my home anytime he wanted. I shared the gospel very closely and intimately with him, not knowing that he is incapable of understanding it. I thought we had all things in common. But after a while, over a period of time, I began to notice him lose interest in his salvation. It became noticeable when he started to lose interest in hearing the Word of God. He began to miss church services through excuses. In fact, he began to compromise services to the point that he stepped out of church for 3 years. For 3 years before returning. How did I notice him changing? What were the signs? I began to notice complacency settling in him. I knew this person lost their first love for the Lord. He began to cease committing his ways unto the Lord by picking up old habits and desires. He would lose faith easily and quickly. His attitude had changed so much he began to express mood swings. Been around somebody with mood swings? He lost his ability to be corrected according to the Word of God and his conscience. He slowly began to break fellowship with the church by being offended. He became very critical with leadership and those around him. He was spreading discord among the brethren. He quit praying. He was no longer faithful. He lost commitment so that you can no longer count on him. And now I know his desires are not for spiritual things at all, even though you thought so from the beginning. The dangerous thing about this person that I found to be true about him was he has learned that he can live two lives. One at the church and one outside the church. He has taken on a form of religion. Jesus' number one enemy. Now listen, the reason I'm bringing this up for marking him is of major importance for the body. Why? He's a member of our church. He's very close to all of us. He's the cause many have been taken from our fellowship. He can easily deceive you if you're not careful of his influence. He still thinks he's a Christian. In fact, he's never been a believer. If he is allowed to have his way, revival is not conceivable. Now, why did I bring this all out? Well, you know, I'm not saying anything against those who have preached the book of Revelations to me or anything like that. But I'm going to tell you, I got up to the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, and I could receive that because it pertained to the church age. And plus, I had Rick Renner and Tony Cook explain out the three chapters beautifully. I didn't have to exercise my brain to figure out what was being said. They helped me. But beyond that, forget it, Jack. When it gets into them symbols and all that stuff. And so I never had a real desire to get into the book of Revelation because I knew that as a pastor of this church, we didn't need to know about the ten horned beast. We needed to know how to get self-control back into our life. Well, why did I bring this up? Because this guy has got to be marked. Some of you remember years ago I marked this person because he is in league with the enemy. That's how he can be omnipresent everywhere. And so he has to be marked. And I'm marking him today again in your ears. I'm marking him. It sure helped me to mark him, but boy, the responsibility of it. Now, if you will, turn over to Psalms 38. And in Psalms 38, let's go to verse 7. For my loins are full of inflammation, and there is no soundness in my flesh. So let's stop right there. And I had not realized fully what Paul was saying when he said very plainly, you and your body are not the same. Very plainly said that. Very plainly said that. Now, can you guys agree with me on that point there? That my physical being, my body, and my natural mind are not the real me. Who is the real me? Spirit and soul. Spirit and soul. Now, wait a minute. I have a soul. I'm flesh, but I have a soul. Yes, you are. But I'm spirit, and I have a soul. It's called the spiritual mind. And the only way I can distinguish between the mind of the flesh and the mind of the spirit is the Word of God. That's the only way I can tell one from the other. Otherwise, my eyeballs go, fruit, cross-eyed. They run into each other. And the only way that you're going to be able to distinguish the one from the other is the help of, can I give his initial and the rest of you spell it out? His name is H.S. Holy Spirit. How many of you woke up this morning, like me, and said, Holy Spirit, today is a new day. You lead me. How many of you did that this morning? Let's see your hands. I want to see your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'll give him 2 points. He had to stand up and let everybody know. That's pathetic out of the number of people we have here. You know what, people? If you don't get a consciousness of being led daily by the Holy Spirit, guess who's going to lead you? It's going to be flesh. And you have to mark him. I'll tell you what. You know what I woke up this morning? I heard from God. No. I declared before God. But I had a voice speak to me when I woke up. This is Sunday. Do you know that voice? In the beginning when you were first saved, didn't have really much of a voice because you were in your first love and all that you wanted to hear was from God. That's all you wanted to hear. Wonder what the Lord has to say today. You would open your Bible up and, Lord, give me a scripture. Come on. How many of you guys know what first love is? That's where you meet a woman and you never tell her your downside, only your upside. That's all you tell them. Why? Because they got to buy in first of what you're not. And then once you get that marriage certificate, and then you turn around and you have the guts to do the same thing Adam did. The woman you gave me. Aren't you glad you came today? I want to go see how the Seahawks are doing. Matter of fact, there are so many scriptures. I couldn't believe how we missed it. About me and my body not being the same person. Even to the point Paul said, I have learned when it comes to the issue of money, I have to stay on top of this dude. And I have to beat him black and blue. Because when it comes to money, when you have a lot of it, you are feeling freedom. When you have none of it, you feel like you're in a little box and you can't move. Can anybody say amen? All of you lotto ticket buyers, you know what I'm talking about. More money you have, the freer you are. I don't have a problem with that. Spiritually and fleshly, I don't. But when it comes to the kingdom of God and you have to give out your money, you'll find out what voice you hear. Oh, shut up, Jan. Get back to your word. So we got this guy marked very clearly. Now, if you will with me for 1 minute, stick with me. And we won't go to 1 Corinthians 5, but we find out there that we're leavened like bread. You know, we're measured. And get rid of that lump so that you'll be a new lump. For those of us who need to get rid of a lump, you understand what I'm saying. Go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. I started to talk about the book of Revelations. And so John and I, we set up a time where we're going to meet together. And this is the first time that John or I ever felt a real leading to get involved with the book. Before, come on, let somebody else discover what the book of Revelation meant. I was one of those Christians, it'll all pan out. You know where that voice comes from? It's called self-centeredness. It's called not caring for the outcome of something for the good of others. So we're going to let everything pan out. And so when I had this desire to go in, mainly I was forced in there by all the things I read and all the things people said and they preached about. I never really bore witness with anything that was really said. I accepted it because it's all I knew. And finally one day, God spoke to me and says, why are you not involved in that book? It's just as much a part of me as any of the other books. And I said, God, I don't understand. He said, I broke a lot of new insight for you. He says, you are now ready for that book. And I said, really? But I don't know nothing about them symbols. And he says, when you get into that book now and you start reading it, he woke me up the other morning and said, when you read that book now, he says, I am releasing the information in it because the time is short. And I'm going to tell you something. I didn't get on that proud bandwagon and say, I'm the only one. The scriptures of God's word is no private interpretation. As I'm receiving this truth, someone else is receiving it somewhere on planet Earth. Don't get to thinking you're the only one that's going to get revelation. God's spirit's bigger than that. And so as I opened the book and began to start reading, and I said, John, we're going to start reading this book, and we're starting reading, and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Because God finally told me, he says, the reason I can reveal the book to you now is because you've learned how to discern when I speak through Scripture to you. You have now got on that cutting edge where you can tell what is the voice of your flesh versus the voice of your spirit. And so as I was beginning, some of the most rough scriptures of all, I've learned that when you receive the mind of a book first, then the rest will follow as how the scriptures fit into that mind. And I got to this one place, it was very interesting, which is going to be very interesting to all of you, is, well, Pastor Butler, what's this got to do with follow me? That's all I'm saying, follow me. And you'll find out what it's got to do with what we just said. In Matthew 13, go to verse 33. Matthew 13:33. And what does it say? Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is likened, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. Well, we found that in 1 Corinthians 5, dealing with that man who insisted on being a Christian, but living the opposite. And he says, kick him out so that he has a revelation that what he's doing is wrong. And then let him back in. Well, we know according to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he came back in. He got a revelation of what it meant to live by the flesh. Now we know that according to Romans chapter 8, there's a verse that says, those who live after the flesh cannot please God. Boy, do I know that one. Now notice what he said here. He said, the kingdom of heaven as in three measures of meal. So that when it's all together, it can produce. So with that thought in mind, go to Luke 13. Luke chapter 13. And this is one of the mysteries that when I read it in the book of Revelations, I knew the meaning of it. And it's starting to confirm what the Lord Jesus was telling me about that book. And I'm excited about it, but we're not going to get into it for another year. I agree with John. We need about another year to absorb this book. I'll tell you that. But you have to know certain things that are very important in order to understand this book. In Luke chapter 13, go to verse 21. It is like heaven or leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leaven. And again he said, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leaven. And guess what the 3 measures is? It's called spirit, soul, body. Remember when we started this message? The thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, rob, and destroy, but I come to give you life, and that more abundantly. Go to Revelation chapter 13. This is a key thing to understand about this book, especially when you get to chapter 13. But now this book is coming together like nothing else. In chapter 13, go to verse 18. Do you find the verse? What does it read? Let's all read it together, if you're New King James. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. What is God's number? Seven. Man is 666. The kingdom of heaven is in 3 measures of meal. Spirit, soul, body. It did say this is where wisdom begins. Means to have an understanding of what a man is in his body, in his soul, and in his spirit. And it marked 666. One number short of completeness. You want to know why? Because it means that man, when he has been born into this world, he loses a part of him called spiritual identity. And that means, now I want you to get a hold of this. That means that the number of man is void of the Spirit of God. And that's how he reigns, period over and out, through the body of flesh. He will get up every morning and he will defy your first love and tell you to go back to what you were living before. And I'm not talking about Satan himself. I'm talking about your physical being. And that is why I'm so adamant that you understand the renewing of the mind and why the natural mind can't be renewed. You can't walk out your kingdom of heaven through the body of flesh. It's impossible. And we lose a whole world of people because of that one concept. They don't know how to follow the leading of God's Spirit daily. It's getting scary to me. A good scare. That I'm going to wake up in the morning and I got to get a revelation. My body of flesh does not know God. It can't know God. It neither indeed is able to know God. I have to have the Spirit of God come into my life and give me spiritual identity so I know God. Now, if you will, go back to Romans 8. Romans 8. Now, where am I headed? Well, I'm going to tell you where I'm headed, people. I'm going to head to that place where God is beginning to give me revelation of how to learn of Him. For I'm meek and lowly of heart. And man who lacks the perfect number is merely flesh because he cannot know God. See, I thought that number 666 couldn't refer to that because it included spirit, soul, body. But it finally dawned on me. What makes a man perfect is not when he's born into this world. Because when he's born into this world, he has a spirit. The trouble is, the spirit has to connect with God. So it's the spirit of God that natural man has to have to know him. I have to be born of him. I have to have spiritual identity. See, that's when we learned in the men's breakfast yesterday when Jerry was sharing his testimony. It was powerful. Powerful what Tim was saying. Some of the things he was saying were powerful. That you and I in the natural are not good enough for anything. Matter of fact, in the end, God calls it a pile of rags. The only thing that our faith is going to be hooked up and have any meaning at all is what we do as a spiritual being. We got to get a hold of that concept. And I've learned that you can live life. You can live it to its fullness. Because he said he came for us to live that life in its full. But here's the kicker. I live life to its fullest because I am being led by the Spirit of God to live where I am privileged to live. Remember when we did the teaching on Ezekiel's wheels? We hooked that in with the leading of the Spirit. Remember the four creatures? Guess who they are? They're the ones that were found in heaven before the throne of God with the seven spirits of the Holy Spirit. And we know what they are. Remember what those creatures were from Ezekiel? That's Old Testament. It was how God wants to be in every area of our life, those four areas. We had what in those areas? The ox. Remember those four creatures? They all symbolized, they had the face of a man. It meant, according to the wheels, that wherever those creatures went, they followed those wheels. And the wheels we referred to as the Spirit of God. It meant in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit could lead. It means the New Testament, the Holy Spirit could lead. It was a witness before the throne of God. Why the witness? Because God, when he says, I'm about to break the seals, it's not that mankind did not have the ability to know me in every aspect of their life. Spirit, soul, body. Amen? And what do? We're intermittent with God. We fragment our knowledge by not being consistent with God and the church. We think we know something when we don't know anything at all. That's why it's called, you're not sober-minded. How many of you have ever been drunk? I'm not talking about the spirit. With alcohol. You believe you're something you're not. That's why he uses that analogy. Because when you're drunk, you can ask Sue, you think you're anything. You're a liar. You think you're in truth. I won't tell you what truth is. You know, somehow we get under the influence of alcohol and we think that we can come up with truth. I like what one brother said. You can walk into a bar as a Wally Cox. And after a few drinks, you're John Wayne. Now, you'll get away with that as long as you don't meet the guy that can overpower you. And when you're a Wally Cox, you ain't got much strength. I know what that's like, too. There is a deception over the body of flesh in your mind. You've got to get this revelation. The natural mind only knows about God. And because when I learned that, now I know how to receive epinosis. I know how to receive revelation knowledge because it can't come through what I understand in the natural. It can't come through what I understood when I was first born again, because my development changes over time. I can no longer trust in that mind that I had when I was first saved because I was a baby then. But now that I'm seeing things put together by the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, I'm beginning to realize the very mind I used to trust in, I can't trust in that mind no more. I have to trust in the Holy Spirit that is presently worketh with me for what's ahead. Yeah. Now when I get into that book, it has a whole different meaning. I understand the little black book now, what it all signifies. Simply because I'm understanding the present day ministry of Jesus. Yeah. When you understand the present day ministry of Jesus, it's powerful. The generation that we're living in, and we treat it like it's trash. I'm going to tell you who treats this world as trash. It's the unbeliever. But who values this time period is the kingdom of God that's within you. The world has a voice. I don't give any consideration to it. But the kingdom of God has a voice, and it's still screaming from 2,000 years ago. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heaven laid, and I'll give you rest. Oh, follow the way of peace. Follow the way of peace. Follow the way of peace. So what did I come up with? Quit following your flesh. Follow your spirit. Daily. Did you know that your soul has to be delivered daily? You want to know why? Because your carnal mind doesn't go away. Every day it has a voice. You have to learn through your conscience what voice to listen to. And because of that, I know now how to receive insight from God. Because He has to put all these little satellite things together for me to get to understand the deeper things of God, because I know that no man can reveal them. And the book of Revelations, I got news for you. God is just now releasing that information. So what about the ones that taught it before? I've been in their books. I've read their book. And every single one of them have one common denominator. They don't understand the present day ministry of Jesus Christ and how He has reconciled the whole world unto Himself. And no judgments can come now during this time period because it fell on Him. I don't mean I don't listen to other people on the book of Revelation. Don't get me wrong. Because they have a lot more insight than I do because they've been into it and been familiar with it. And so when they have a word to say, I'll give them respect. But still, I have to rely upon the Holy Spirit to help me put together even with what they share with me. Because I gotta have this inner witness. Never had it before, but I'm starting to get it. People, we got it. What's the conclusion of my message? We have got to learn that we are right now at end times. And we have to pay attention to what God wants to speak to us now concerning end time and where He wants to take us for those who are not brought in yet, so that they are brought in. Are you following me? So that they're brought in. And once they're brought in, whew, glory. See, when one day I sat down and I was trying to break habits in my life and certain ones, and I found it by the fruit of my own tree. And I said, God, you said man will know himself by the fruit. I know myself by this fruit. How do I stop it? I'm telling you, God has a way of ordering your thinking to where you will see the light at the end of the tunnel. So next Sunday, we're going to come and we're going to get into Romans 7 and 8. We're not getting into it in depth. We're going to give you a revelation of what's really said there. Because I got news for you. Your second arch enemy is your flesh. And the first one is Satan himself. Hallelujah. Stand up, everybody. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Father, I want my church to have the same understanding that Paul gave to the church. Have no confidence in your flesh. Father, I want us to not have any confidence in our flesh, but confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ, who works through our flesh. Hallelujah. We are not what we are in the natural, but we are in the spiritual, if we have the Spirit of God living in us. Father, I don't want to be discarded as not having the Spirit of God ever in my life. I don't want to be numbered with 666 in my life. I want to have the Spirit of God in control of my life. And I'm learning as I grow a little here and a little there and a little here and a little there. And I'm changing on the outside. My fruit is changing. I am going to be more like you. I want to be conformed into your image, because greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you can truthfully say, Heavenly Father, hallelujah. I've never given my heart to Jesus. I've never made him the Lord of my life. I didn't even make him my Savior. But this morning I want to make him my Savior and then my Lord. For I love Jesus so much that this morning you spoke to me through your word. And I'm willing to testify before everybody, I need you. And I'll stand in awe of letting people see me witness to my Redeemer that I'm now receiving. So if you've never been born again, now is the opportune time. Now is the opportune time. You know, life is too uncertain, people. It is too uncertain. We think we can walk out of a service and not receive Jesus, get on a bus and die. Because life is too uncertain. But life becomes certain when you're filled with the Spirit of God. When you're born again, life has certainty. Otherwise, you're just on the conveyor belt. In the end, your life will just be dumped off. But no, you can live a life on purpose through Jesus. So if you never accepted him, we're going to give you the opportunity. Number two, maybe you have been out of fellowship with God. God forbid that anyone should ever know that I've been out of fellowship. But yet I've admitted to you I have been. Now, I didn't go back into the world, but I've been pastoring a church, but I was out of fellowship. How do you know? Because of what was happening inside me. I was deader than cracker juice. I'm mimicking other sermons. Not anymore. Man, I'm doing my own diligent research. And when I deliver you the word of God, it's going to be from fire. Not from complacency. Besides, you don't want to hear something that's been hashed over. You want to hear something that's fresh out of the oven from God. Yep. Hallelujah. And so if you've been backslid, do like Sue and I. We wore the pulpit out. I didn't care what anybody thought. When I was out of fellowship with God, I went forward. I got back into fellowship because I wanted my testimony to be of God before men. Hallelujah. 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 And if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, oh my gosh. And listen, you cannot rely on serving God out of your head. It takes the Spirit to reveal the kingdom. Your head is only limited as to what it can understand of God. That's why Dean, when he shared some of the people that were not there, I went into shock, but I began to understand. These are people that refuse the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were ones who were likened unto corrupt doctrine and didn't understand what it really meant and didn't have a desire to go through because of the influence of other men. I'm going to tell you, I don't want 666 over my head, boom, boom, but I want 7 right in the middle. I want to be complete with the Spirit of God in my life. That's why years ago when we got that interpretation about by his word, he said many will come, but they won't stay if they're of the flesh. Because spirituality takes commitment.
Yeah.
Unless we go seeker friendly, would you like to do that?
No.
We can get friendly with everybody. I even hate the term seeker friendly. I'm going to seek for people, but they're not going to be friendly terms with their flesh.
Right.
I don't make friends with flesh. And so, if you fit the criteria for this, we welcome you to come up for prayer. Even for physical healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Feel free to come up. Hallelujah. The only thing that could stop you is pride. Hallelujah. But come forward. Those of you who would like prayer. Hallelujah. 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 One person said to me, why are you so hard on people? Because the enemy is hard on them. The enemy is hard on them. And I don't want them to be. I don't want God's people dominated by their flesh or by the absence of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Anyone else, feel free to come up. Hallelujah. 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 How many of you are up here for healing? Every one of you? For healing? Okay. That means my altar. Hallelujah. Is it for healing? Is it for healing? Yeah, okay. Healing. Wow. Well, then we have to exercise our rights to the bread that comes from heaven called healing. Amen. Do you believe that the bread of healing can come from heaven? And guess what? You're not going to get healed because you're the cutest thing on the block. Some of you look at it, I know that. It's because of God's love that He gave it to you 2,000 years ago. That's what our hope is based on. It's aorist tense. It's not future. That's why Kenneth Hagin says, if your faith is based on what you're going to get in the future, forget it. It's what's already given. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Father, may we all get a revelation that Satan can eat dust, but I don't want to give him any of my dust. Hallelujah. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, may your people live victorious, and may we have a good meeting tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.